Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia. I'm Sophia, and I'm joined with...
Jared!
Just kidding. I'm Jared.
No.
Oh. Okay. For those of you who may be new, Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia is an interactive podcast. We're basically like a book club, but for music.
Yeah. Every week, we choose a new album, listen to it, come up with our thoughts, share them with you guys, and we update our Sick Beats charts.
Yeah, and Sick Beats Charts is basically a 10-song playlist that we make every week for you. We'll talk about it later after the album. Everything Sick Beats you can find on our social medias as Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
And let us know what you think about what we're talking about.
This week we'll be talking about Fandom by the band Waterparks, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So instead of talking about a Waterparks album, Jared... why don't you tell us about the Waterparks concert?
Yes, I'd love to. If you missed last week's episode, I was talking about how I'm so excited to go see Waterparks in concert on Halloween, dressed up as a Teletubby.
Yes.
I indeed did that.
The pictures are very nice.
It was very fun. I almost got lost in the city of Chicago during the weekend. I was trying to get to the train station. I took a wrong turn a few times,
Good job.
I'm alive.
That's good.
And that's all that matters.
So I can't have the podcast to myself.
Nope,
yet.
It's no longer Sick Beats with...
with Sophia and Sophia.
With JS, just Sophia. Yeah, I made friends with some person named Amanda in line. We got food from a place called Devil Dogs in Chicago.
Fun.
Shout out Amanda.
Did you tell Amanda to listen to our podcast?
I should have, no. Yeah, the concert was very fun. I got into the venue. I immediately got on the... long line for merch, tripped up the stairs to get into the long line for merch. Didn't crack my head open, so we're happy about that.
That's good.
I waited in line for like 10 minutes, got a crew neck sweater with all the band members on the shirt. It was, or the sweater. It was like a purple maroony, like old person sweater color.
Nice.
I love it. It's very comfy. It was $50, probably a little bit too much, but it's fine. I paid it for it anyways. The concert was very good. I think I blacked out during it, if I'm being completely honest. So the last concert I saw before the pandemic was Waterparks, and it was my first concert since pandemic, current pandemic. And I didn't take my phone out at all. I took like one or two videos at the beginning of the concert and I kept it in my pocket. And I was jumping so high, I hit the freaking balcony of the venue. Don't know how that happened. I sweat through my shirt, my pants, and my mask within three songs. I kept hitting my Teletubby headband, which bent the pipe cleaners that was made from it, and I had to keep adjusting it throughout the entire concert. But I blacked out to the point where I didn't realize people were crowd surfing and doing circles. I thought that just didn't happen.
Oh my gosh.
I was just like gone. I definitely needed this concert. It was very good. Up there for the concerts I've been to. Yeah. One of the merch items that they were selling had a random QR code on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Twitter was going like kind of crazy about it. Somebody scanned this QR code that I think was on a hoodie design.
Yeah.
And it sent them to a link that had a like pre-save for something coming out on like January 17th, I want to say. Someday in January. I think it's the lead singer Austin's birthday. And they're like, what could it be?
Mysterious.
I don't think it's going to be the Age album yet.
No, probably not. That would be too soon.
Also, what would it even be called?
Honest.
Heckin' Waterparks. I really thought Greatest Hits was going to be called God's Favorite Boy Band.
That would be funny.
Yeah. That's like my little bit about Waterparks concert. A night out on Earth. If you are interested in going to see them, I believe they're still touring throughout the remainder of November. Check out their Twitter for concert tickets. This is not sponsored. I just think you should go see them.
I know that Halloween is over. We already did our Halloween episode. But Billie Eilish was cast as Sally for like the Nightmare Before Christmas annual big performance. For those of you that don't know, I think it's annual, but it might be every few years. The cast of Tim Burton's A Nightmare Before Christmas will sing the songs from the movie live with a live orchestra behind them and the movie projected behind them. And Danny Elfman, who plays Jack, and the guy that plays the boogeyman, which I can't remember his name, sorry, they've stayed constant throughout the entirety of like this tradition. And every once in a while, they like recast somebody as a different character. And they had Billie Eilish perform Sally this year. And I wish videos probably exist of it somewhere on the internet.
I saw it on TikTok.
Was it good?
Yeah. So I didn't realize it was for this specific thing. I just thought maybe she did like some random performance on like another Halloween show for some reason. I didn't know this whole Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along orchestra thing existed.
Yeah.
But it was very good. And she had like the makeup on and like, wore a fit. Yes, because
she posted the pictures from it. And I was like, oh, I wish that I could like find a video or something of it.
I'll scroll through my likes on TikTok and I'll see if I can find it for you.
Because I remember seeing that she was cast as Sally and thinking that that was like a really smart choice for them. Not only because Billie Eilish is very relevant right now and it could help like their numbers and awareness and things like that, but also because her voice is perfect for Sally.
Oh, yeah. It was. She sounded phenomenal. That's all I have on that, really. But Telepath by Conan Gray is now a song that exists.
It exists for your ears. Now.
Finally.
Finally.
This man, Conan Gray, has been posting the same little snippet of this song on TikTok for 2 months now. Mm-hmm. And I love the snippet.
It's like the chorus.
It's the pre-chorus. Mm. And it's just like, I like the pre-chorus. Where's the rest of the song? And we have the rest of the song.
We do. And it's so good. We won't go super into our thoughts.
Because you'll hear that.
Because it may spoil a later part of the podcast. but it's a really good song. You should go out and listen to it. I don't think there's a music video yet, but there is a lyric video.
Yeah. What I will say is I'm happy that the snippet was a pre-chorus. Because the chorus of the song, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Our final piece of like banter before we talk about the album is it was recently announced that Ariana Grande will be playing Glinda in a movie adaptation of Wicked coming soon.
I'm very excited about this news.
I am too.
First of all, I didn't know that they were making a movie adaptation of Wicked, which like it's about time.
Yeah.
Because Wicked is the Broadway musical.
I feel like it's been talked about for years and years and years and hasn't happened. Mm. But whenever anybody talks about it, I always hear Ariana Grande's name like come up. I just thought James Corden would be Glinda.
I don't like that.
Me neither. I hate that I said it. We don't know if James Corden's going to be in this movie. I pray he isn't. No offense,
James Corden. If they're taking themselves seriously, they won't put him in it.
Yeah, not after Cinderella. Oh my God.
Wait, what do you mean Cinderella?
Have you not? The Camila Cabello Cinderella? So I said Cinderella, the Cinderella, Camila Cabello.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. My mom watched it. Bad. She said it was trash.
It is so bad. There's a cursed scene where he has a mouse body, but a human head.
That's awful.
It's bizarre.
On the other hand, though, like he was amazing in Into the Woods.
Yeah,
because he's just they didn't have. I don't like when they have him in as like a comedic relief. He's good at singing. He's a good actor. Just let him like take on a serious role.
Yeah. But anyways, we're talking about Wicked.
Yes.
Ariana Grande will be playing Glinda. She manifested this about a decade ago saying, I will play Glinda. you know, point blank period. I'm going to play this role.
I think that it's a wonderful role for her.
Yeah. I mean, as recently as like 2019, she was talking about wanting to play a character from Wicked, although it was during her Thank You Next era. So she was saying she wanted to be Elphaba. but it's very exciting to see her take on this Wicked role. I know there's some people who are heated about it and they want like somebody who is an actual Broadway actor, whatever that means, to play this role. But I want to just, that is your opinion, I just want to say something to you specifically. Ariana Grande got her fame or started off her in her career as a Broadway actress in the musical 13. She then moved on to Victorious, where she played an over-the-top role. She's besties with Christian Chenoweth. She's going to have mentors beyond mentors. She has the ability to sing musical theater. Mm-hmm. Leave the girl alone. Let her play the role. Let her kill it. If she's bad, I'll eat my words. But as an Ariana fan, I know that's not possible.
I mean, I understand people's concern because they're like, oh, why are they putting a pop star in this?
Yeah.
But it's also like probably people that don't know that she's classically trained and she can sing Broadway.
Yeah. I even see like Ariana fans who are like, I don't know about this one. I'm like, let her do things that aren't just, yeah.
Yeah, I think she'll be amazing in it. Even her as Penny in Hairspray Live, she was amazing.
It was so good.
I feel like people don't give her enough credit for what she's able to do with her voice. She's not just a pop singer.
Yeah.
She can manipulate her voice and do cool things.
Yes. So anyways, when Wiki comes out, I will be watching and I'll be crying because that's my girl Ariana Grande out there. And if you have issues with it, take it to the social medias at SickBeats with JS.
Not SJ. So, as we mentioned earlier, this week we're listening to an album called Fandom by the band Waterparks. It was released October 11th, 2019. It has 15 tracks. It's roughly 38 minutes long. And for genre, it's like definitely pop rock, pop punk.
Yes. This is their third studio album to hit the market. If you know, we made a joke about this earlier, but all of their projects are released in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. So there were three EPs called, Airplane Conversations, I believe, then Black Lights, then Cluster. And then there was Double Dare Entertainment, now Fandom. Mm-hmm. To kind of summarize this album, Fandom really takes a lot of time to talk about an ex-love of the lead singer, Austin. This ex-love has had many songs written about her throughout Waterparks' discography. Mm-hmm. I'll mention those specific references a little later throughout the podcast when the specific songs hit. This album takes turns with this genre. It's a little bit, it drives away from what the previous albums they've put out are, in a sense where it's like you can see that they're evolving their sound, but it still stays true to how they are, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Diving into the first track, this album starts with a song called Cherry Red. I just think this intro is a very grand opening to an album.
Yes.
It starts off with like guitar mm-hmm. and like this synthy like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It sounds very good. It works as an intro. It's very short, mm-hmm. but it leads into the project perfectly, I think.
I agree. This is a very good intro for the album. It's very dramatic, very grand. I imagine this just, and you can hear they have reverb on like everything. And this song is meant to be sung live in a big stadium with a ton of people like screaming. Mm-hmm. As Jared mentioned, it's really short. I wish that this is a full song. Spoiler alert, this is one of my favorite tracks from this album. And I just like wish I had a little bit more of it.
The lyrical content is not really much, but it really wraps up the whole album, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's short enough, I think we can just read it. Austin sings, cherry red, you know I die for you. Sour green, we both lost me. Now I don't want your sex and I don't want their money. I don't want my life since you changed your mind. I never wanted nothing but honesty when you slipped the curse you loved me. And then it just says cherry red, you know I die for you again. I think there's a lot going on in these lyrics here. I don't want to talk too much about them because we'll deep dive into what the themes are of this album as we talk about tracks. Mm-hmm. But I think it does perfectly summarize what you're going to get from this album. You're going to get some heartbreak. You're going to get a lot of like bitter thoughts, mm-hmm. A lot of helplessness and like sometimes not wanting to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just throw that in there casually.
As casually as you can. Yeah.
Moving on to the last track on this album. This is a track titled I Felt Younger When We Met. Being completely honest, I don't think he ever says the title of the song.
He does not.
In the song. And so I was having trouble connecting the song to the title. I do think he says it at the end. Hold up. Oh, he doesn't. Austin. Come on. I don't think that's a diss on the song. I just think that I just am a little stupid. So if you don't say the title of the song, I'm like, what does this mean?
It's always peculiar when you're like, so when is it going to happen?
Yeah.
This track is very much a retrospective on the whole relationship that ended, that this album talks about the entire mm-hmm. time. And it working as the outro of the song, it's like, this is kind of like the last time we're going to talk about this situation, which I like. And this album or this song ends with like the same like synth melody as track one, Cherry Red.
Yes.
To try to make this album loop. Mm-hmm. It's not the strongest album loop I've heard in my whole life. I'm going to be honest. There is a little cut in between the songs, unfortunately.
And the outro runs kind of long. So it's like it might be a little bit more effective if it was just like less long. I don't know how to say that smartly.
Yeah. It's still interesting and I like it. Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that the first time I listened, because you guys know I listen to albums on repeat. Not to see if there's a loop, but just because it makes it easier so I don't have to like go back and press play every single time. Mm-hmm. And they run into each other pretty well. There's a lot of songs on this album that kind of bleed into each other. Which I mean, it makes it a whole experience.
Yeah. This album definitely is transition station, and a front to back listen of this album is a lot better than a shuffled listen.
Speaking of the outro, there's a clock ticking at the end of this song.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, mysterious.
What it's does like she rewinding mean? The time.
Ah.
Also, that makes sense because this has nothing to do with the album. The track list on the physical copy of the album uh-huh. is in a like loopy.
Fun.
Where like it starts on the outside of the loop and goes into the middle. So it's a it's a never ending cycle, except it ends, but ignore that.
Interesting.
Yeah. This song has some lyrics that I like and I pulled them out. In the chorus, Austin sings, "It makes me sick, you know my skin."
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more with that lyric, but yeah. I'm just pulling out that specifically because I really like it. The idea of knowing somebody's skin is very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And once you feel like somebody knows you to that intimacy, them not being there anymore can yeah. be revolting.
Or like, especially if things didn't end well, like, God, I hate that you know me so well. I hate that you know, like he says, all of my freckles, my hands, like all this stuff. Yeah. I hate that you know all of these intimate small details about me. That's so frustrating because when you end things with someone, you want it to be like a blank slate. You want it to restart. And when you become aware of the fact that it's not, and this person knows so many deep, dark things about you, you're like pissed.
It's such a great way to describe that feeling towards that person.
Mm-hmm.
Though they never say I felt younger when we met, throughout lyrics like that, you can totally feel the vibe of that title in yeah. this track. I also wrote, I think this is from verse 2. They sing, "I flew to California. I chose the worst place. It's where I flew to see you for the first time. I was broke but sold half of my records and gave the money to an airline," which I just thought was interesting as somebody who collects records, like selling your whole record collection.
Mm-hmm.
That just, for somebody, that takes dedication. That takes like actual love, especially if you're buying records that have like significance to you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you're buying records, it's not just, oh, I like listening to that album once. I'm going to buy it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, again, that it's showing off that intimacy of this relationship, spending all of your money just to fly to this person,
mm-hmm.
Which he's talked about the situation of like flying to California, like flying across the country in previous albums, specifically Entertainment, which is the album before this. In a song called Lucky People, he says, "Now I'm flying across the country more than monthly for you." So like just with that context
yeah.
from the previous album, this lyric really resonates
mm-hmm.
in this track. And the final lyric I pulled from this is just, "Do you see you're the reason I can't sleep?" And it continues with like, I lose it like right where your head should be. I just like it. I think it's great. I think the situations that he's pulled are very specific to him, but mm-hmm. they make sense. And you can feel that vulnerability in his writing, I feel.
Yeah. I have written down that the chorus of this song is one of those that sounds fun to like scream.
Oh, yeah.
Like if it's something that you relate to and you're like going through something, like screaming this in like your car or like alone somewhere where you can just like feel all of your feelings. Like because the chorus starts with, I said I love you to death, so I must be dead. And like he just like is yelling.
Yeah.
He's in pain.
I remember listening to this album in 2019. I was just like still kind of coping with my past relationship ending. And I would scream this in the shower all the time. God bless my roommates.
This song builds pretty well. It starts down with just like, starts pretty broken down just with his vocals. And then obviously builds from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like it when songs do that.
Yeah. I like that. So, Sophia, what would be your first favorite track on this album?
My first favorite track is Cherry Red, which we've already talked about. Again, I just wish it was longer. And after that, I have Watch What Happens Next.
I also have Watch What Happens Next.
Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. I really like the instrumental in this song. It has a strong guitar, which If you've been listening for a while, you know that Jared and I like a strong guitar. And the melody that the guitar plays throughout the song, I just like. The chorus is really strong in this song, which I feel like I say a lot.
That's fair.
I like the pre-chorus in the song, too, especially the lyrics. He says, I want jetpacks for all my friends. He's just talking about like things he wants, but I like that lyric. I think it's fun. It makes me giggle a little bit.
Yeah, I like this whole song. This song kind of acts as a song just about Austin's frustrations, I think, with where he's sitting in his fame. Mm-hmm. He talks about like kind of feeling stuck in the genre he's in, and he wants to do fun things that are more like of your pop star type life, specifically in that pre-chorus where he's like, I want cool shirts, I want cold rings, I want a big car, I want nice things. But he like feels like he can't do that due to like the genre he's in and like the culture in that genre. Also, if you like the pre-chorus for this song, this pre-chorus makes a appearance in their next album as a retrospective.
Interesting.
Which is just cool. I like the little callback. In the second verse, Austin kind of calls out Lil Nas X slightly. And not,
which I didn't notice this at first.
It's not malicious. It's just to further show the frustration of not being able to like evolve in his genre, he feels. He sings, hip hop can do whatever it wants, like make country songs and hit number one. And that's fucking awesome. We could never do that. And I just think it's very interesting. I remember when the song first came out, I was like, ooh, what a reference. Because that was like right at the peak of Old Town Road still. Yeah, he also mentions like how we put like auto-tune on one of the songs that are actually on this album, and that like people were disgusted by it. Like, why are you doing that? I just think that that topic is interesting, being like frustrated. And then at the end, he's like, well, learn the words to the song. Bye.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned how, you know, they're kind of feeling stuck in the genre that they're in, because again, this is pop rock, this is pop punk. And it's a hard genre to be in. It's not like pop or R&B or hip hop or any of these things, because the fans are so dedicated to the specific style of music and the way that it's performed and the way that it's sung and written, that it's really, really hard for bands to kind of stay relevant, because the second they try to change or kind of adapt to maybe get more listeners. I'm thinking specifically of Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco, and especially Fall Out Boy's kind of fight to stay relevant and listened to. I definitely understand them feeling kind of trapped, because there's not much wiggle room. Otherwise, you know, he mentions the song like they'll boo that. Because they need an easy format or something. I don't remember the lyrics, but
he goes, all the fans that like us need an easy effing format. They would boo that. They'd abuse that. It's a cultural holdback.
There's no wiggle room in this genre, because the second you try to become a little more relevant or appease to different types of listeners, your fans are like, why are you changing? This isn't the music that like we listen to, or like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like with Water Parks, they get a little bit more wiggle room. Because especially with this album and their newest album, I feel like they've definitely done things that they wouldn't have done on their like earlier projects. But their fan base seems to be really supportive of that.
That's good.
But I like this idea. Like, even if it seems supportive, he's still feeling these feelings. It's just interesting to see from an artist.
Jared, what's your next favorite song?
My next favorite song is Dream Boy. I don't really have a lot of thoughts on it. I just really like how it sounds. It's a little more poppy, which is funny because the last song is just like, we can't change from our genre. But then this is such like a like tiny little shift into something new. It's all about being like your designed person, who Austin is in your head, basically. I wish the song was a little bit longer. It's very short. It's like a verse and a half in just choruses. But I wrote down specifically, build a boy, pick your pieces, overjoyed, never leave your heart destroyed. I'm your boy. And that's, it's the idea of we hold these artists to a like standard in our head where they can do no wrong, especially like in stan culture specifically. Where, like, I've made jokes where I said, if Ariana Grande killed somebody on the streets, I'd say, yes, work, make it a single, you know?
That might be a little problematic.
It might be a little problematic. I'm working on it.
He says, build your expectations saturated and inflated, because I was born to be your favorite.
Yeah.
kind of just still playing into stan culture and having an idealized version of a person in your head. And it kind of dehumanizes them a little bit.
I was just going to say that. It makes them feel not like a person. It's just, you're an idea. This is who you are. You're a product.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to mention, too, is the chorus gets repeated, but, like, in a, like, synthy, like, kind of, like, sound. Mm-hmm. It gets, like, distorted, which I think is really cool. I don't really know what that does for the story of the song specifically. It does something. I just can't put it into words.
Yeah.
But it sounds very fun, and it takes you somewhere else. It's one of those where I can't really talk a lot about it. I just really like it, and it's unexplainable, but it's I tried my best to explain the unexplainable. Sophia, what's your next favorite song?
My next favorite song, Jared, is Telephone. The first thing I have written down may not make this seem like it's one of my favorites from the album, but the piano in this reminds me of 2 a.m. before Jared and I started this podcast, when we were looking through royalty-free music.
Oh, my God.
It just sounds like some royalty-free, like, corporate, like... like, we're going to put this in our employee morale presentation. This song is pretty cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I kind of liked that. He starts off with, "I'd like to know your middle name. Let's talk about your parents and your dreams."
I think the song is very funny because he tweeted about the song and said he wrote this song in Target.
Oh.
About some girl he just saw in Target.
Oh, okay.
This whole song is just about some girl he like saw a glance at and was like, "You're pretty. It's time to write a song."
That's so fun. I like that you're giving me all the meanings behind these songs because it makes them more interesting.
Yeah. The lyrics kind of hint at that Target origin story. In the second verse, he sings, "I'm living on a target and you shot it with an arrow. Now I lost my self-control. I can't stop thinking, and I'm thinking that I lost it. All these aisles feel like miles." And it's just like the little like store references, like the aisles and Target specifically. Isn't that interesting?
I feel so dumb.
I didn't catch it the first time I heard it either. In the chorus, I specifically love when he sings, "I know we only just met, so why do I feel invested? Do you feel it too?
I can be your best yet, future favorite regret. Do you feel it too?"
Oh my God.
Which is the entirety of the chorus, case anybody was wondering.
Yes. I love that idea of just like, because I feel like I've had that kind of thought while I'm like swiping through Tinder. I'm like, oh, I could see a whole life with you. LOL. And then I'm like, no, you just make cakes. Goodbye. Anyways.
And also, I think it happens before and after the chorus. No, it just happens after the chorus. I like when he says, "So I'll just tell my telephone all of the above when I'm alone."
I agree. And it has like an effect to it where it sounds like it's just like in a voice note.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like a thing people, especially musicians, do. They just pull their phone and just talk into their phone like in their voice memos.
Yeah.
And I just like that little attention to detail with that effect.
Yeah.
Also, the instrumental goes hard on the song.
Yes.
The piano might be a little much.
I think it's just like it opens with it and I'm like, okay.
It's throughout the whole song though. and it just stays there and it's like an earworm. Mm-hmm. But the guitar goes off. Whatever Jeff and Austin are doing here with the guitar, I don't know anything about guitar. Mm-hmm. I just know it sounds good and I like it. Whatever they're doing here, I want more.
I like the bridge in the song. It's fun. It gives us like a cool like breakdown of the melody and stuff. I think that it's good and it's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
At the end, there's like a speaking line and it says, "He's losing his mind and I'm reaping all the benefits." And I have written, "Mysterious, what does she mean?" for the second time.
I think that little sample of the little speaking part, it makes sense because it goes into a song that goes into a song where it goes into a different direction.
Yeah.
The whole like he's losing his mind thing, I think we really start to see that starting the next track.
Are you sure it's the next track?
Yeah. Group chat.
Are they losing their minds in that?
I just feel like that signifies something. Spoiler and then it goes alert. Into turbulent.
Group chat is our next favorite song. And I don't care. I have written down, I don't care that it isn't a song. It makes me laugh. This song is literally just them all saying their names. And then they're like, "And we're friends." That's basically it.
It's got a sick guitar on the end.
it's like a nice break and it's fun and they're having fun together.
I love the 14 seconds that is group chat.
Yeah.
It's top 10 water park songs for sure. I'm joking.
I don't care that it's not a song. It's listen, going in my favorite tracks.
Listen, I agree. It's in my honorable mentions just because it isn't a song. But I think it's very funny if you go on Spotify and look at like the plays of each track on this album. Mm-hmm. Group chat has 2,811 streams. And I don't know if it's just because it's so
is
short.
Is that more than the other ones?
It has 2,811 streams. The song after it has 26 million streams.
Oh.
2,000 streams is little. When they have a million, 2 million monthly listeners.
I don't know how many monthly listeners they have, Jared.
I don't know how much longer we can talk about this 14-second song.
No, there's like nothing else to the song. It just like is fun just, and it's not even a
I
song.
I think the way Austin says his name is very deep and profound.
It is very, it's like he says it in a weird voice.
It is distorted. I forgot about that. Yeah, like Otto and Jeff say their names very normal and yeah. Then Austin's like, my name's Austin. It's very funny. I like it.
It gives me serotonin. I don't know.
Moving on from group chat, we have the next track, which is Turbulent, which is one of my favorite tracks. I talked this song to death last week in the Sick Beats charts. So if you want my full thoughts on that, you might want to go back to that episode so I don't repeat myself.
We had a profound conversation.
Yeah. Anyways, I like all the lyrics, but I didn't talk about one lyric on the Sick Beats charts last week before I realized we were going to talk about this album. So I want to bring them to here. The song starts off with the lyrics, you had your own Pete Wentz and Patrick combined. Writing you songs and singing them all like every single day, which I think is interesting. That's a Fall Out Boy reference.
Yes.
Pete Wentz and Patrick.
I got that one.
I think that's very fun and interesting. And it's Fall Out Boy is like one of their like bigger inspirations when it comes to their sound.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the energy of the song. It really makes me jump. They performed this live mm-hmm. in the tour I just saw
yes.
in the encore again. And they did what I talked about last week where at, you know, the bridge where he's like, you had a taste of the life, but you grew complacent. Yeah. So when I saw them perform the Phantom Tour, they mm-hmm. repeated the bridge and the whole guitar breakout down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it again at this concert.
Fun.
And I screamed. I was just screaming these lyrics at them. Also, I forgot to mention this. At the concert, they were dressed up as the Powerpuff Girls.
Fun.
It was so funny.
Wait, I think I saw that on Twitter too.
Yes. I was screaming about it.
And I was mad because whoever was the blue Powerpuff Girl mm-hmm. didn't have blue Chuck Taylors to match. Because like the pink one had red Chucks and the green one had green Chucks and then the blue one had black ones. And I was like really upset about that for some reason.
Turbulent is a great song, live or not. I love hearing it live though.
I have this one down as an honorable mention. I like the pre-chorus and the chorus and I like the instrumental on this song.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to add to this conversation.
Love it. My next favorite track is Never Bloom Again. I just love this song. And it's all about like feeling like you can't move on after a relationship ends.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that relationship sucked, as this one tends to be written like.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw a bunch of lyrics at you because I just think the way he's written about this is very interesting.
Can I say a couple of non-lyric related things?
You can say everything you want.
So I also have this written down as an honorable mention. I like that it's a change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's really stripped and broken down. This song is acoustic. And there's one part where like the guitar like gets a little more aggressive, but it's still an acoustic guitar. And I just like that it's like stripped and broken down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that it's a really nice change of vibe, I guess.
They tend to give us like an acoustic song per album. And they're always like one of my highlights of the album. Getting into all of my lyrics, I apologize. Austin sings, I never thought I'd let myself wear the weak look, but I guess if the shoe fits, it's like God fell asleep in the middle of the day. He built my self-esteem. Those are just some lyrics from the first verse. And I like how he's written this. It's just like that feeling of like, I didn't think I'd be like this, but I guess I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like my self-esteem is not here. Must have just never been.
Yeah.
I like how he is talking about his emotions here. I don't have the best words to describe what that emotion would be, but I understand it. Like I said earlier, he's written about this relationship a lot. I mentioned this exact reference earlier too, and I Felt Younger When We Met, but he talks about flying across the country
mm-hmm.
all the time to see this girl. Like, yes. This person is constantly mentioned in Water Park's discography. The amount of times they've sang about this girl is insane. But also, all of the songs are so good. So, I don't care.
Who is this girl?
I don't know, but she messed him up. In this song, too, he's talking about, like, all he can do now in, like, his loneliness is, like, just sleep it off without her kiss and just write songs and paint her pretty with his his syntax.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of thoughts other than I just think it's really pretty. I think the way he's describing that helplessness feeling after a relationship ends mm-hmm. is great. That idea of, like, I will never be able to bloom again. I will never be able to grow from this.
Yeah. My first couple times listening to this song, I felt like the lyric, I'll never bloom again, felt out of place with the chorus.
I see that.
I think it's just like the words themselves, like, didn't fit with kind of the vibe and the rest of it. But, you know, as with a lot of other songs that we've talked about so far, Jared's telling me the meaning of them and it's making me appreciate them a little bit more than I did before. Because he says, you know, all the girls in Los Angeles look like you from a distance. Now I'm kind of thinking that I'll never bloom again. And the words, like, it just didn't sound right to me.
It's just like I'm not expecting the word bloom, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
It doesn't rhyme.
Ah!
Because the chorus goes, all the girls in Los Angeles look like you from a distance. Yeah. I tried to give you space until I stepped away from your brain and now I just miss it. And distance and miss it don't rhyme necessarily.
But they have the same vibe.
But they're close enough.
Yeah.
And then he totally, like, throws in a different vowel entirely. Yeah. And that might be why it
That's
doesn't
because it just, like, really sounded wrong mm-hmm. to
it
my brain.
It sticks out. Which I think it's a little bit of a benefit that mm-hmm. it sticks out like that because it's really pulling out that vibe. Because at the beginning of the chorus, you could just be like, oh, he's like, he's bitter.
Yeah.
But then he's like, no, I just can't grow past this.
Yeah.
Like, all of these variables and factors in my life should allow me to grow past this, but I can't.
Mm.
Which I think is interesting. I have a lot of favorite tracks on this album. I'm kind of obsessed with this band. I apologize. But my next favorite track is War Crimes. I don't have too much to say about this other than I love the lyric, God's favorite fucking boy band, pray to be important in my paradise. He's just angry on this track. Mm-hmm. He's calling out people, specifically, like, people who have brought coke on his tour bus and, like, bands that he used to love. He says, like, I'm finding out that bands that I love don't want the best for me. They're scared that they're falling off and mm-hmm. taking it out on me, which is a flex. I just love that. They're scared they're falling off and they're taking it out on me.
He said, you're Aww. Mad that I'm winning and you're not.
Yeah, it's that Nicki Minaj, I win, you lose, ha, 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 ha energy. I like the writing here. It gets, like, really heavy and then the chorus kind of, like, gets a little lighter, which is fun.
Yeah.
This song has an emotional tie to me because when I saw Fandom live on tour, I was recording the song with my phone and some kid bumped into me. My phone flew 10 feet into the air.
I feel like you mentioned this story.
I talk about this all the time whenever I talk water parks, but it's still this phone. I have it to this day.
I wonder if it was, did you mention it last episode?
I might have mentioned that last episode. But yeah, I just like War Crimes a lot. That's all I really have to say on that. Do you have any thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts about the song. I don't remember liking this song.
In, I think, the first or second verse, he says, he's like, I'll go call my friends. I think it's like Sean and Zach and Travis. And he mm-hmm. goes, let's go do some bad shit. And then in the background of the song, you hear his friends go, what the fuck is he talking about? We don't even do bad shit, do we? Like, and I just think it's funny. I like when they throw some comedy into their music when they're talking about, like, heavier stuff, too.
I will say I do like the lyric, I'm scared my songs will turn to static, your night in shining plastic.
My final track is Reboot. This song is a complete contrast from Dream Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, he's singing, like, I never promised you your Dream Boy. I'm better as your chew toy. And I like how Dream Boy is a very poppy, not really conscious track.
Mm-hmm.
And this is taking the idea of Dream Boy and, like, flipping it on its head and giving it perspective, if that makes sense. The instrumental is fun. It's a little more, like, darker sounding.
Yeah.
He sings some, like, this whole verse, like, super fast.
Yes, I have that written down. I have written, talk fast, big vibe, fun.
Like, he says, like, this amount of words in like 10 seconds. He's like, I think I talk too much. I try to walk it off, but now you got your gloves and now you box me out. I'm at the ring, but the only ring I want is the ring around your finger, but your middle one's up. I've had enough. I try to brush it off because you're my confidant. So let's talk, share secrets. I got some dirty laundry. Can you keep it? I try to keep the flow of that. I think I did it justice.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
very slow. But like this, he's just like,
yeah. He's like real angsty in this song.
Yes. This is another song on the album where the title was not mentioned once in the song. But the way...
See, but this is one where like I didn't expect it to because like the title's in brackets.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay.
It's stylized. Interesting. But I like it. The way the title of the song is in brackets makes me feel like it's like a button. Like you're hitting refresh.
Mm.
Like you're starting over. And I feel like this is like... As it's not like the final time he's going to talk about the things on the album, but I feel like it's the point where he's like, the healing is going to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm refreshing. All of these like weird thoughts in my head, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move past somehow. That might be me just like reading into it. I don't know if that's how Austin feels about that, but that's what the vibe I get at least.
That's what your version of Austin feels about that.
Oh my God. That's what my dream boy feels. All right. That's all I have for favorite tracks. Sophia, do you have any least favorite tracks on this album?
I don't think I do. And I think the only reason is that a lot of these songs blend together in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't think of one that makes me like angry or makes me like skip it.
That's fair.
Moving on to honorable mentions, I only have one left and it is Easy to Hate. I like the pre-chorus and the chorus in the song. And that's about it. But Jared, I know you wanted to mention the references Austin does to colors.
Yeah, so... In this song specifically, but throughout the whole album and throughout their whole discography, the idea of colors has such a significant meaning. I mean, this whole first verse is talking about like my blue and green, they turned to red.
Mm-hmm.
You were yellow, but the lights were red. Anyways, to put that barely sentence into an actual sentence, he sings a lot about colors because he actually has a form of synesthesia where he can hear colors.
Mm-hmm.
So like sounds are... like connected to a color.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. I know somebody who has a synesthesia where she listens to music and can taste things.
Mm.
But I like how it makes no sense when he's talking about all these colors, but it does to him.
It does to him.
And that's all that matters.
Because this is another installment of Jared is telling me things that I didn't know before. The reason why I say I only like the pre-chorus and the chorus in this song is because I don't understand the verses. Because he's either talking about colors or he's saying things that are like kind of really stereotypical. Like I used to save the text you sent me and like all that stuff. And I just, it's too cheesy for my liking. But now I understand the color part.
And then the second verse, he sings like, I'll change the colors on my head, worn like a mood ring past my neck.
Yeah.
And he dyes his hair a lot. Each era, like each album is has a hair color tied to it.
Mm.
Like the current era they're in, it's just every color on his head possible. It's like a blue, yellow, and red, like constantly changing. There's like a smiley face on his head at one point. It was cool. So like that's like a call out to that specific like era definer. But also the whole like, I'm going to wear my hair like a mood ring past my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very interesting lyric.
Yeah.
This song does not do much for me. If I were to have a least favorite track, it would be this one.
Mm.
It just feels safe, in my opinion. But I don't hate it. I like it a lot, obviously.
Yeah, this song, it doesn't do very much for me either. I enjoy the chorus and the pre-chorus. Mm. I think because they're more interesting than the rest of the song, I think. They stand out.
This song comes and it goes.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I can really mention is the music video is funny. It's like the band is just following a fan and like terrorizing him and like tearing up his posters and breaking his records of water parks. It's interesting. I don't know what it has to do with the song, but I like it.
Jared, what is your next honorable mention?
I'm going to try to fly through these.
Okay, do it.
My first honorable mention is High Definition. This song, it takes you into his headspace about like love without much effort. It really it gives you Austin in HD, which is the title, basically. The song starts off with him singing, I'd love to be in love with you enough to write a love song. It ends with, I'll just stay alone because alone is safer than with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just think the way he's singing that is very interesting. And it's like, you can tell that this relationship has fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's they just broke up or he's still with them, it's like that idea of like, I wish I could be able to do these things that are stereotypical in love, but I don't like feel safe around you and I don't feel that love, which is just interesting. In the first verse, he sings, I like you inconveniently. You're squeezing out my dopamine. You like me in spite of me. And he can, I mean, the rest of the song kind of plays off of those kind of lyrics specifically. Mm-hmm. When this album had came out too, this was what Austin said is his best songwriting at work. It would be a favorite track for me, but it's really hard for me to sing. So selfishly, I'm putting it in honorable mentions. And I think his lyrics are just interesting here. It's very raw and just like coming from his head, which I think is very nice to see in music.
This one reminds me of 21 Pilots.
I can see that.
I think because it's so like stream of consciousness and just I think the way the verses are formed and the way that the lyrics like feel in my brain just feels 21 Pilots. And I think that's why I don't like this song as much as I probably could.
That's fair. It does give me a little bit of a blurry face kind of vibe.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, that's not like a drag to the song. It's just like I don't listen to 21 Pilots anymore, so I don't gravitate towards this type of music anymore.
My next honorable mention is I miss having sex, but at least I don't want to die anymore.
That title gives me 1975 because it's like a full sentence.
It's so long. It's funny to see people talk about this song and abbreviate it because it's still a mile long.
Yeah.
Mostly it's just a funny song. It's very meme-y. Mm-hmm. It's short. It's got some vocal range. He's just basically like, we're broken up. I miss having sex, but hey, I'm not in mental torment anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it feels very like carefree and happy. Mm. And he's like, I don't want to die. I don't know. I just think this song is funny. Yeah. I think the fact that it's one of their most popular songs is funny because it went viral on TikTok. Oh. Like very short.
TikTok,
it just, I know. Yeah. I don't even know to the extent it went viral. It just like hit a little bit of popularity on TikTok for a little bit. And then my final honorable mention is Worst. This song is very good. It again talks about pretty much the same topic as a lot of like these slower songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not one of my favorite tracks because it's an older song that was like put on this album. We mentioned this earlier when we talked about Watch What Happens Next.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a song that he like put out like unreleased. Apparently it was like really auto-tuned when he put it out or something. And people were like giving him crap for it and all that. So this version of Worst has like less auto-tune. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like if there is any auto-tune, it's not very apparent. I think it's a very interesting song. I just think it feels like older writing. And I think that's why it's not like up there with like Never Bloom Again for me specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the lyrics. You want a boss or fucking white boy with a six pack? Oh, what's that? You had both in one, but fucked around. I don't know. He writes a lot of lyrics that make sense, but they also have like a little bit of humor in them where it's like, haha, emotional pain, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I really have on it. It's good lyrics, good singing. There's other songs on this album that I gravitate to more. Worst is near those songs in the sequencing of the album. So I still listen to it all the time. Sophia, what are your overall thoughts and opinions on this album?
Well, Jared, interesting question you ask there. I have a big long paragraph, but I feel like I should preface this with this album doesn't make me angry. This is not my Matt Maltese. We mentioned this earlier. It's just not the type of music I gravitate towards anymore. And I'll mention that in my big paragraph. It's just my first sentence kind of throws you in.
Is it harsh? The first sentence?
No, I don't think so.
I should just let you talk.
I'll just read my paragraph.
Okay.
Just nobody hate me, please. Overall, this album disappointed me because I've heard a lot of good things about Water Parks and their music on Twitter and from friends. No, not just Jared. And I think maybe I was going into it with my hopes like too high. I don't know. The vibe of this album is like pure and concentrated like punk and emo and like angsty and all that stuff. And I think that maybe that just like isn't my genre anymore. I think I grew out of it. Playing into that a little bit more, I do think that Sophia from eighth grade to like freshman, maybe sophomore year, would have eaten this album up. And I think it would have like resonated with her. I think she would have loved it. But unfortunately, that girl has now grown up and listens to different music. I'm not a huge fan of how he storytells.
That's
in
fair.
This album specifically. I feel like I'm being told the story without any room to make or to form my own opinions about the characters in it or to make any interpretations of different endings or different possibilities within it. Like, I feel like somebody's just like, this is what happened. And I'm like, oh, well, what if? And they're like, no, this is what happened. Anyways.
That's very fair. And I think that has to do with a lot of the, like, specific, because he writes very specific.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I just, in going along with the storytelling, I feel like playing into the whole, like, I don't have room to kind of form my own opinion because it's so specific and you can tell that he's singing about just, like, specific things that have happened in his life. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as smooth. The stories don't feel as smooth as some of the other artists or bands that we've listened to in the past here on Sick Beats. And, you know, I really do think that they have better music out there. And I think that this just wasn't the album for me. And I need to listen to their other stuff to find, like, where my little hidden gems are. Because I found a couple in this album that I do like, and I know that I can find them elsewhere. But because of all of that, I'm giving this album a 6 out of 10.
That's fair. I think that's honestly, because we mentioned this a little bit, because I did, like, we, like, when we set up for the podcast, we just check in and are like, so, like, general thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned not resonating with this one a lot.
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh my God, literally last week we were talking, or like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how, like, stuff specifically about, like, post breakup doesn't resonate with you at all. And I was like, that's only what this album is.
Yeah.
So, like,
and that could definitely play into it. Like, I just think that this album wasn't for me.
Yes.
I think that I would like their other stuff. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that being said, I really enjoyed this album a lot, specifically when it came out in 2019. I was going through a breakup, and I think maybe the concepts of this album really hit me a lot, especially, like, looking at the lyrics now when I'm in more of a happy place, in a, like, a happier relationship. Mm-hmm. And all of that. I think the lyric content doesn't relate to me as much. Mm. But that being said, I still really do enjoy existing in every single one of these songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially since I just saw them live last week. I'm very biased, obviously. After, like, deep diving into this specific album this week, I'm realizing a lot of these songs do cover, like, the exact same topic, but it might be, like, in a different font.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. and, like, I'm specifically thinking, like, with, like, Never Bloom Again, I Felt Younger, and Turbulent, and Maybe Worst. Like, they're all kind of covering, like, that same kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from, like, a slightly different perspective, but they're very similar. Which I personally don't care about, because I think every single one of those songs do hit me in a specific way. Mm-hmm. When I'm listening to them. Pre-Greatest Hits, I honestly can say I think this is one of Water Park's most solid effort as a whole project. I think the transitions from one song to the other really hit.
Mm.
The whole issue with cohesiveness is you can suffer from repetitiveness when trying to make something super cohesive. That being said, I think this album is very cohesive. And when it's repetitive, I, as a fan, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they've kind of tried to play with their sound and not corner themselves in a genre, as they talked about in Watch What Happens Next. That being said, they still also follow, like, a very similar format to previous albums, where there's, like, at least one, like, acoustic ballad song and one song where you can, like, scream your head off to.
Yeah.
Overall, I think I'd give this album an 8 out of 10, like, coming back to it. I think when I was, I think a couple of years ago, I'd probably give it more of a 9 out of 10, but I've heard more music from them now, and I've, like, really taken the time to, like, sit down and, like, digest every single song and decipher it. And I think I just prefer Greatest Hits over Fandom.
Hmm.
But I love them. I think this album's really good. So those were our overall thoughts and opinions. But we want to hear from you guys. What do you guys think about Fandom by Water Parks? Do you think it is a smash bop through and through and through? Do you think it's 10 out of 10? Do you not resonate with it? Do you want something different from them? Tell us anything, everything. And Austin, if you're listening to this, I enjoyed the concert on Halloween. Yeah.
We hope that you saw Jared and his friends being Teletubbies in the sun.
You did post a video where I was headbanging in, so I hope you saw that. I had pink hair and a purple headband on and a purple shirt. We'll be back with you in a few seconds to talk about our Sick Beach charts, but until then, enjoy this music.
All right, everybody. It's everybody's favorite part of the episode, where we update our Sick Beats charts. Sick Beats Charts. For those of you who don't know, Sick Beats Charts is a 10-song playlist that Jared and I make every single week just to update you on what we're listening to, what we're enjoying, and to give you a better look into our specific music tastes. One fun thing about our Sick Beats charts is that you can find them on Spotify.
Yeah, the link to the Spotify playlists are in our bios on our social medias. There's a little link tree that has a playlist just with my picks for the week, with Sophia's picks for the week, and then every single song that's been featured on Sick Beats charts ever will be on one big playlist, which has 99 songs on it without this week's charts on it. Isn't that insane?
We're going to break 100 this week.
Isn't that crazy? So, Sophia, what would be your third favorite song this week?
So, my third favorite song this week, and you guys will notice when we post our charts and if you go into our Spotify, that my charts haven't changed a ton this week. But my number one and my number three, or my top three, are different. My number three this week is New Invention by I Don't Know How But They Found Me, which I know we've heard it before. But they released a new version of it featuring Tessa Violet. And I love that girl. I don't know if she's like big.
I know her name.
She got her start on YouTube. One of her songs, Crush, I think, got popular on TikTok probably. She makes good music. I don't know. But they released a new version of New Invention featuring her. And it's really good. I really enjoy it. I can't pull any lyrics because they're just the same lyrics that we talked about last week. But they let her have a verse of the song, which obviously it's the same. I think they let her have like the second verse. Mm-hmm. And it's really good. And she comes in sort of in the background at first, and then they give her her own verse. And then she's like integrated into the song. It's really fun. It's not like a specific, like, I'm Tessa Violet. Here's my part of New Invention. It's like, I'm Tessa Violet. I don't want to do a cover. So let's like collab.
I like it. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. It's really fun. Good vibes. Her voice is fun on it. Jared, what's your number three?
My number three this week is Meet Me at Our Spot, but the live version by The Anxiety, Willow, and Tyler Cole. This song got really popular on TikTok. I'm sorry. It was specifically the live version because Willow's voice just sounds so beautiful and rich on this track. And then people would go to the studio version, and instead of like the good vocals, it's like, got a vibe, baby, are you coming for the ride? Like a bunch of people just like around a campfire, like just screaming and having fun kind of a sound, which is like not what the live version sounds like at all. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
But they recently put the live version out on like streaming services. And I've just been kind of jumping to the song a lot, like without even realizing it. I've just been hitting it.
Yeah.
I like the chorus a lot. It is fun. They are like, you know, caught a vibe. Baby, are you coming for the ride? I just want to stay for the night. I just want to look in your eyes. It's just cute. I just like it a lot. I don't really have a lot of words for it other than I just really enjoy listening to it. And I just wanted to put it on number three because I like it.
I love Willow Smith.
Willow Smith is so good.
My boyfriend is a big fan of like her newer music that she's put out. She has a really good voice.
She has the relevance. I think she just needs to be more of a household name than she already is.
Yes.
But for her music and not being Will Smith's child.
Yeah.
And I think her music needs to be longer and she needs to have more tracks on her albums. I really like Willow too. Transparent Soul had like a clutch
head
throughout the entirety of the summer. But like songs from lately, I feel everything like Grow featuring Avril Lavigne and Transparent Soul are like really good and stellar. And I think she's found a sound and she just needs to like keep growing at it and like pushing at it and making it more cohesive. But she's got a lot of good little singles and droplets.
Yeah.
And Meet Me at My Spot, Meet Me at Our Spot is just very good. And that's all I have on that.
Good vibes. My number two this week, I won't touch on for very long. It is The Kids Are All Dying by Phineas. This was my number one last week, but something else took the cake this week. The only other thing I'll mention about this song, you know, last week I talked about how it's a really good like social commentary, just kind of about how our world and like all of the news and all these things that are happening and how that's how that combines and overlaps with the music industry. One thing I didn't mention last week is the bridge is about white privilege. In the bridge, he says, I know my pool is heated Business class is where I'm seated, and I'm whiter than the ivory on these keys. I think too much about myself, drink my wallet, and drive my wealth, but enough about me. And then it goes back to how the song starts, which is like the bang, bang, knocking on your door, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And the bridge is all in falsetto, and there's like no music behind him. And it's just really good. The song is really good. And if you haven't listened, I know that we haven't touched on it here on Sick Beats, but Optimist, I believe, is worth a listen.
I still need to listen to it. I say that every week. I still need to listen to it. I like how the bridge talks on the fact that it's like grounding it and being like, yes, I like it.
I'm a rich white man.
I'm complaining about all the stuff, but yes, I am privileged and I understand that kind of a thing, which is interesting. And I like that that is something that he decided to write on. Mm-hmm. My number two this week is a song we talked about earlier, but not in depth. It is Telepath by Conan Gray. As I said earlier, I'm glad it's finally out. It's very good. I think it was very interesting that when he was leaking this song or like teasing the song, that he chose to tease the pre-chorus. Mm-hmm. Because when more came after the pre-chorus, I was just like immediately hooked. Conan is serving vocal after vocal on the song. He's mm-hmm. in the falsetto. This song is all about like calling out. He's calling out what he sees the future to be. He says like his ex is going to see him move on and hate that he's gone. And Conan knows that he'll be back. Mm-hmm. He's the telepath. And I just love that energy. Just being like, I know what's going to happen. Like, I've seen this happen. You are predictable. You don't surprise me. This is what's going to happen. You're going to do this first, then this, then this. And I just think that's very interesting. Conan's serving vocals here. I'm very excited to see what Conan does next. The bridge is good. I'm not going to say anything else, but I like the bridge. I don't know. I'm kind of just sending you up.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not a telepath. So, Sophia, what's your number one song? That's funny.
You know, funny you should ask, because my number one song this week is, you know, I don't know if you've heard of it before. It's a little thing called Telepath by Conan Gray. He's like a really underground artist. I don't know if you would have heard this song. So this song is like pretty good. I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyways, all jokes aside, this song is amazing. He is serving vocals throughout the entire song. There's so many like jumps that he does with his voice that are so impressive, and that like if I want to ever sing this song, I'm going to have to practice. But speaking of the bridge, funny you should mention the bridge.
We didn't even talk about what parts we liked of the song before. I just assumed all you were going to like the bridge.
The bridge is so good in this song. Like, I can't. It's like ethereal, and there's like layering and like echo and reverb, and he like does a little like arpeggio like up, and it's so good.
I think this bridge is very interesting because it's almost like inviting this like come back to me energy.
It's in like a way, because he's being like a bad bee and being like, I know you come back, I'm a telepath. But then the bridge is like,
please come back.
I know that I'm going to like drunk text you that I miss you. But, you know,
it's that I will be calling you.
Mm-hmm. Or like when you come back, I will be inviting you back in. Like,
yeah, I won't stop you from trying. I just think it's interesting.
It parallels, or it kind of contradicts, you know, that boss energy that's like, I know you're going to come back. Like, this isn't going to last for very long. But it contradicts it in that, like, I want you to come back. And although I know that's how this goes, there's going to be times that I doubt that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to call you crying. And I'm going to be like, I miss you. Oh, my God. Like, it's boss energy while still being like, but, like, I want that to happen. So, like, you know, if you wanted to come back, I don't know, like, maybe. Yeah.
I like it. This is a good number one. I just have another song I've been playing a lot more than Telepath to put it as my number one. Otherwise, I'd be in the same boat as you.
Would you like a drum roll for your number one? Just tell me when to stop.
I just want to see how long you go. Just kidding. I want to go home. Okay, you stop.
Okay, done.
My number one this week is 21 Questions by Waterparks.
Like the game?
Yeah. So I know you're probably sick and tired of me talking about water parks.
What's water parks? I've never heard of them.
You know, it's a place you can go and swim in and go down slides.
Okay.
Yeah, but then there's also a band.
Oh, cool.
So 21 Questions by Water Parks comes off their album Double Dare. I mostly listened to the song a lot this week because they didn't perform this at the concert. And I understand why. I mean, the last two times I saw them, they performed this song. So it's okay to bring new songs in, I guess.
I just
love how this song sounds live. This song, I think its strength lies 1,000% in the bridge.
Mm.
But the whole idea is like he's playing 21 questions with this girl who could possibly be the girl who's talked about throughout the entirety of fandom.
I mean, probably.
But he's playing 21 questions with this girl. She's with somebody. But like throughout the song, she drops him and like takes Austin, basically.
Toxic.
So the bridge goes, "We built a picture made for frames. We lived in chemistry away from all the wasted time and taste. And it sucks to sleep because you aren't talking to me. I want to give you space, but the amount between us is wrecking me." And then it goes into the chorus again where he goes, "Then what? You drop your guy and took me on. It's everything I wanted, but then what? Would you get tired of my time?" And he repeats this 3 times and then goes into it again with, "Then why do you drop your guy and take me on? It's everything I wanted. But then what? Am I in his position now?"
Yeah.
And then the drums start, because this song is acoustic, by the way. Forgot to mention that. That's the most important part to this bridge. This song is acoustic. And then the drums start kicking in like boom, 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 boom. And the chorus goes one more time. Then what? You drop your guy and take me on. It's everything I want.
Yeah.
And then then what? And he just screams, "Would you get tired of my time?" And then it goes into the like actual part of the chorus, because I guess the "then what" is the pre-chorus. My bad. But it's the build up into that final chorus.
Yeah.
Goosebumps every single time. And hearing that live when I saw them perform this live was insane, because it would just be Austin on stage and like the other two band members weren't on stage and he would just be playing his guitar. And then you just see Otto, the drum player, slowly walk on stage and get set up during
like, hey,
the song. And then Jeff slowly walks in too with his guitar. And it's just, "Would you get tired of my time?" And then boom, like everything comes in. And it's like that builds up to like the emotions of like, am I in his position now? And then it like really starts to hit you. It's so good. And I understand this song is like 5 years old now. And I understand not performing it.
Yeah.
Because like there's so many other songs they can perform and I loved every song they did perform. I just wanted to hear it again.
I like that idea though. Like the subject matter, because, and I feel like that's not the subject matter in like a lot of songs or like very many songs, is like, you know, you have someone you're in love with and they're with somebody else and you're like, "Oh, I wish they would leave them for me." But then, you know, they leave them for you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Wait, I'm insecure."
Yeah. It's "I don't like your girlfriend, Avril Lavigne, but then what?"
But then what?
Yeah.
I love the "but then what."
It's that whole "am I in his position now" lyric that really ties this song up in a bow.
Yeah.
And it would just be another like sappy song about liking somebody. I mean, in the chorus, he's like, "I want you all to myself this time."
Yeah.
Everything is so good. If you wanted to hear all the lyrics, I would tell you all the lyrics, but I think you should just listen to the song instead of listening to me talk about it. Because if I just read all the lyrics to you, what's the point? I just think the bridge of this song is so good. And every time I get into my car, I play this song. I like how that is always the distinction for my number one.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's just like I am just singing this song constantly this week. Again, partially because I didn't see it live, but also it's just such a good song. And I've been in a Water Parks mind since the concert. So it was inevitable that another Water Parks song would end up in my top three.
Yeah.
And most of my charts this week. Sorry about it. But yeah, 21 Questions by Water Parks is my number one song this week.
Nice.
So that is all we have for our charts this week. We mentioned this already, but just in case you need to be reminded, you can see our full 10 song charts on our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, every one of our social medias at SickBeatsWithJS.
Not SJ.
And they are also on Spotify. The link to that Spotify playlist is in our social media bios.
Yes.
You'll be able to find that link there on all of our social medias. But we want to hear from you. What song this week is
your
screaming
number one
at you?
Oh, you
louder
are going for a joke.
Louder than Mariah Carey defrosting this week.
Oh my gosh, I'm so scared that she's defrosting.
She's so defrosted right
Please
now.
Please don't defrost too quickly.
Yeah, let us know on our social medias. But other than that, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia. If you enjoyed this episode and want to continue discussing music with us, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcasting platform.
In addition to adding our podcast on your preferred listening platform, go ahead and follow us on social media to keep up to date with our charts, what album we'll be listening to, and other things at Sick Beats with JS.
Not SJ.
We announce what album we're listening to every week on Wednesday, so be sure to follow us and be on the lookout for that.
Until next time, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week for more Sick Beats. Sophia, Mariah Carey is defrosting. She's right outside the door.
She's
do you
outside.
Not see her?
She's.
Do you not hear?
Oh my God! Oh my God! No, Mariah! Mariah, please! I have a family. No, Mariah! No! No!
She stabbed me. Oh, blood everywhere. I'm bleeding.
Sick Beats with Jared and Sophia is now canceled permanently.
Hi, welcome to Sick Beats with Mariah Carey.